This morning, our scripture reading will be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 13. Start reading at verses number 13 and concluding at verse number 17. I will be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
An elderly couple was just getting up in the morning and preparing to begin their day. The wife asked her husband, "What would you like for breakfast?" Well, not receiving an answer, she proceeded to go toward the kitchen. And then as she began looking for something to find to make for breakfast, her husband came in. And so she decided she would ask him again, "What do you want for breakfast?" But still, not hearing an answer, she began to start cleaning off the table. And so as things were put away and getting ready for something to put on, her husband was ready to sit down. And so after he was seated and began to be comfortable, she walked right up to him, asked him a third and final time, "What do you want for breakfast?" Well, he calmly looked at her and told her, "For the third time, I want scrambled eggs, toast, bacon, and orange juice." You know, she was asking him several times, and when he was answering her, she didn't hear him. Perhaps she was preoccupied with what she was going to do or what was going to happen that day. And you know, a lot of people are just like that even now. A simple conversation is usually one-sided instead of two. We're too busy thinking, what are we going to say when somebody says this? Maybe we're too concerned with their own interest to understand or to even hear what is being said. And you know, sadly, that's the way it is in the religious world. God has something very important to say. But are we listening completely to Him? I can remember when I was a college student having to take the speech class. And we had to learn about senders and receivers. How you have to know what you're saying as well as listen to what the other person is saying. And it's a lot more complicated process than what you might think. But when God begins to speak to us, it's not very complicated. In fact, God has always spoken very, very clearly. If you look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, there in verse 1, we understand exactly the ways in which God had spoken. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by a Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God has spoken from the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis in chapter 1, you find the very first thing God said was, "Let there be light." Very plain. very simple. And as he spoke it, light came into existence. Surely something or someone was listening even then. And as the Bible unfolds, we go throughout the Old Testament. You find God spoke directly to man. God spoke his word through the law that was given to Moses. God spoke to the people through his prophets. And then, as the writer of Hebrews says, he has spoken to us by a son. Jesus Christ was the Word of God in the flesh. He did not speak of his own authority, but whatever he heard is that what he should speak. And people from all around came to listen to Jesus as he taught. But do you and I do the same thing today? Well, there's another way in which God speaks to us. And Paul tells that way to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. He said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The pages that we read from Genesis through Revelation, we are hearing the word of God. Everything we read is what God had to say, but are we listening? How often do we pick up our Bibles and read? How often do we pay close attention to what God is saying to us? You know, people from the very beginning had a chance. Adam and Eve heard God's commands in the Garden of Eden. The people during the days of Moses could understand exactly what God expected of them, what to do, what not to do. After all, he gave them 10 commandments written on 2 tablets of stone. But then we begin to find that the people could go to a prophet and inquire, what is the word of the Lord? And then it would be up to them to listen and to do what they were told. The same was true during the days of Jesus Christ. The same is true today for you and for me. And as we have an opportunity to hear the word of God, it's up to you and it's up to me to take advantage of that opportunity. Sometimes we make excuses, don't we? You know, I just don't think I feel like listening. Maybe I'm too tired. Maybe there's something more important that I'd rather think about. Maybe there's something that was more important to me the last few days than the first day of the week that God has created for me, or every day that I am alive. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe I need a little bit of encouragement to listen. Maybe I need to know what is going to take place so that I can be prepared. Well, there were several of those that encouraged mankind to heed the word of God. One such example was the Word of God himself. In the book of Revelation, when you go look at chapters 2 and 3, you find that John was writing to the 7 churches in Asia. On each occasion, you find the words of Christ that were spoken, what the Spirit says to the churches. He said this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We all have ears to hear, do we not? If we have the ability with which God has given to us, it makes sense then that we need to hear what God wants us to hear. We need to pay attention. And in each case, we find the word was spoken to them, what they were doing good, and to be encouraged to continue doing them, but also some things that may not have been good, a few changes that need to be made. And if we're going to make the right kinds of changes, we have to understand what kind of changes need to be made. Perhaps in the Gospel of Mark, there in chapter 7 and in verse 14, Jesus began to say, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Listen to Jesus. Not just you, not just me, but everyone, all of us. Jesus has something to say, and it is very important. He is the one that has the words of eternal life. He is the one that is very true. He is the one that can tell us what we must do to be saved. If we truly listen to Him and seek to understand, it will pay off. You may recall that soon afterward, there were some that sought to understand. We find in the book of Acts in chapter 2 that Peter began to preach that people had just crucified the one that is both Lord and Christ. And in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, he began to say, "Heed my words." Why would he say something like that? Because what he was about to tell them was very, very important. They had done something that would affect not only themselves, but also all of mankind. That they had truly crucified Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And as soon as they began to realize this, the Bible goes on to tell us that they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And in verse 38, Peter's response was to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, we find that they truly did understand, because the Bible says that same day, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. They were willing to do what was commanded of them, to repent of their sins and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. But then, sometimes we can plead and sometimes people will not listen. A few chapters later, in Acts chapter 7, we read of a young man named Stephen. Stephen, you'll recall, is also preaching the gospel of Christ. And he pleaded with them in the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 to heed his words. Listen what he was about to say, because he too had to share the message of Jesus Christ. But sadly, many did not listen. Oh, they heard for a while, but began to stop up their ears. And they began to cast stones at him. They too were pricked in their heart, similar to what occurred in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But instead of responding favorably, they did not like the message. And sadly took it out on the messenger. But then there were other occasions in which good things came forth. For example, when we come to Acts chapter 15, we read about the Jerusalem Council. And Paul and Barnabas began to tell of all the good things that God had done for the Gentiles. And soon, James began to plead with them as he began to teach that this is all in agreement with what the very prophets had to say. And in verse 12 and following of Acts chapter 15, James pleaded with them to listen to him. When somebody is begging for us to listen, you can bet that something that is about to be said is very, very important. Even in his own epistle, James wrote in chapter 2 and in verse 5, he said this, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" He encourages us to listen because of the good things that God has done for all of us. And if we learn and understand this is what God has done, then we realize there must be something that we must do. But what were to happen if we were not to pay attention? Well, we have such a warning from the writer of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, here beginning in verse 1, we read this warning. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by those who heard him. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that even from the very beginning, man had a chance to listen. If we listen to what God has to say and does what he says, it'll pay off. But if we do not, he says we will drift away. If we shut our ears off and no longer pay attention to the things that are being said, you know, we just might forget them. After all, many New Testament writers tell us that they had written things again by way of remembrance to stir up our minds. We need to always have dear to us what God wants us to know. And by reading and by listening, we will not drift away. If we were to drift away, to become separated from God by our sins, you know, we wouldn't have any hope. But Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. And that's why John said in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can call upon that blood. We can be forgiven. We can be reconciled unto God. But you may remember there were some that did not. Time would only tell of the many, many examples of those that did not do what God said. Some that simply would not listen. You may remember Nadab and Abihu. God told them what kind of sacrifice he required of them, but they did not do it. They offered strange fire before the Lord, fire which he did not command them. Or what about Jonah? You know, Jonah clearly heard God and where he needed to go to preach to the people, but he didn't do it. He might have heard, but he did not listen. Or what about those in our very day and time? Brother Andy read to us just a moment ago about the words of Jesus Christ. There in Matthew chapter 13, did you recall beginning in verse 13 that there were some that heard but did not hear? Some that heard that did not understand? He says in verse 14, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. How many people are just like that even today? You know, I hear what you're saying, but I really don't understand. Or, yeah, I hear you, but that's as far as it goes. That's all I'm going to do about it. Or maybe I'm only half hearing. Maybe I hear what I want to hear, and I don't hear the rest. Or maybe I think I hear, I think I understand, really, when I don't. What a consequence that would be. But as Jesus went on to say, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Words to Christians are very, very sweet, are they not? Words of truth. Words of hope. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life that we often sing about. Jesus had those very words. Are we willing to listen to those words? Well, after hearing about the communication process, we may think, I'm not really a good listener. I might be a better talker. I may not really know how to listen. Well, the very first step is to prepare our minds, prepare our hearts, to open our ears to the things that are about to be said. You know, we have a good example of those that did just that, and you can read about them in the book of Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11. They are known as the Bereans. The Bereans, we're told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They received the word with all readiness. They were eager and ready to prepare to hear what does the word of God have to say. You know, there was someone else just like that. Someone else, perhaps, that we might talk a little bit later this evening. Someone by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius got his whole house gathered together. Why? Because they were eager. They were willing to hear the word of the Lord. We've got to prepare ourselves. We must be ready and willing to hear what God has to say. And what will happen when we do listen, when we truly hear the word of God? Well, first of all, this gives us our necessary faith. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, Paul said, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, faith is necessary in order to come to God, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to read the Word of God. I want to learn about Him. I want to learn about His love for mankind, by Jesus and His sacrifice, and the commands that He has given unto me. How can I believe in someone in whom I have not heard? And how can I hear except one speak unto me the very word? And one therefore must be sent to speak that very word. Today we have preachers that can get before us and proclaim the word of God. We have the Bible that we can read and to study, to know exactly what God has to say. And if we truly hear it and believe in it, it will be a great blessing unto us. Jesus taught in John chapter 5 and in verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." If we truly believe in Jesus and God whom He has sent Him and do what He says, we can have everlasting life. We will not enter into everlasting punishment. You see, that's how God knows who truly belongs unto Him. In John chapter 8 and in verse 47, Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Jesus was telling the very plain, the very simple truth about who Abraham is, who God is, how that we become heirs of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We can be children of God when we do what God says. And how do we know what to do unless we hear Him? You see, by listening to Him, we find out what truth is. Later in John chapter 18, there in verse 37, Pilate asked Jesus as He was on trial, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. And for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. If I truly listen to what Jesus has to say, I will learn the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, what will the truth do for me? Well, John chapter 8, verse 32 answers that. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm listening. I'm hearing it. But now I've got to do it. In Matthew chapter 13, there beginning in verse 23, Jesus tells us the explanation of the parable of the sower. You remember how the sower went out to sow seed, the seed representing the word of God, and it fell on all kinds of ground, some that were willing to receive it, some that did for a while at first, but then did not, some that did not receive it even at the very beginning. But Jesus said, those will hear, will understand, and even bear fruit. When that fruit is born, you can see the good that comes from hearing the word of God. But you know, it's not enough just to hear the word. The book of James in chapter 1 tells us, beginning in verse 21, how important it is not just to hear. But he says in James chapter 1 and in verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James combines all the elements that we previously talked about together. We prepare ourselves. We take away the bad and get ready to receive the good. We listen, we hear. But instead of being a forgetful hearer, we put into practice the things that we learn. And that's what God expects you, and that's what He expects me to do. What would were to happen if we were to do so? Well, I believe a good contrast is found from doing and not doing in Matthew chapter 7. Let's conclude with the words of Jesus as He teaches us who we are like. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus said this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the rock or the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. A solid, a firm foundation is given to those that hear, that are willing to truly listen to what God has to say. And by truly listening, they are willing to put into practice the things that they hear. But on the other hand, Jesus said those that hear but do not do, or those that truly do not listen, are like foolish people, because they build their house upon the sand. Sand is not very firm. A sandy house can easily be destroyed. you've ever built a sandcastle on the beach right near the ocean, and a big wave comes rolling by, goodbye sandcastle. It's not there any longer. Everything you worked for is all gone. But if we truly work for the right things, but willing to truly listen to what God had to say, we will be rewarded. So through the Word of God, we can learn how to receive salvation. But in order to receive it, we must truly listen and do what God commands us to do. If so, we may receive everlasting life. Are you willing to listen this morning? Are you willing to do what God requires you to do? We're just about to sing a song of encouragement. And if you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.